Road Noise Unfiltered may contain explicit or objectionable content. Listener discretion is advised.
I'm Will Brubaker.
Hi, I'm Kate Brubaker.
And you are listening to Road Noise. So, Kate, where are we now?
Well, this Road Noise is coming to you from Arequipa, Peru.
Arequipa, you say?
I said it, Arequipa.
So, what are we going to talk about this week?
We're going to talk about aliens. Isn't that fun? Isn't talking about aliens like fun?
No, let's talk about fun.
Okay, let's talk about fun first, and then we'll get into aliens.
Okay, but first, actually, we do need to mention that we did kind of a name change here, and we're also going to talk about that, but that's kind of some boring stuff, so that's going to wait until the end, but we will get back to that.
Right.
Okay, so on to fun. Yeah, we don't really get to have a lot of fun on the weekends.
People tend to think that our life is one big vacation, that we're just driving around in this camper in South America and seeing all the sights and partying all the time, and it's not like that.
No, not at all. Like, the reality is, I work a full-time job, and so my office view changes every day, well, every week, and that's kind of it. That's usually all there is to it, that we're driving from one campground to the next.
Right. During the work week, we need to be stationary so that Will can have access to Wi-Fi or data. And on the weekends, we're usually driving to the next destination with Wi-Fi and data. So it's few and far between that we actually have a weekend that we have fun, that we actually go and do stuff.
But so I put together a really awesome itinerary. I got a New Year's Day off, so I had a three-day weekend. And so I finished my work day up Friday, that earlier Friday, and we broke camp and we moved about 2 hours. In fact, I woke up early that Friday morning so that we could break camp and get out early. And we did exactly that, and we got to Huacachina, which is a little oasis town in Peru.
It is. It's just outside of the city of Ica. And while it only boasts about 100 permanent residents, it's estimated that over 10,000 people per year visit Huacachina.
Wow.
Yeah. And why do they visit Huacachina?
It's kind of this cool oasis, but I think that you go there just to be a jackass in the dunes, really.
Pretty much. It's all about dune buggies and sandboarding. And so we arrived and checked into our campground, and they had a dune buggy expedition going out at 4:30 in the afternoon. We thought, hey, that'll be cool. Maybe we can get a sunset. I wasn't aware, though, that sandboarding was part of it. I thought we'd just be riding around in a dune buggy.
And I had no interest in sandboarding. I'm like, no, that sounds stupid. I'm not doing that, but it turned out that it wasn't what I expected. They don't expect you to stand on it, or at least not anymore, I guess. There are foot straps, so.
Right. They're recycled snowboards from probably somewhere in Colorado that they repurpose for use on the dunes in Huacachina. And so, I'm a pretty nervous person, in general. That's kind of my personality. And so when we booked our trip, I had no intention of getting on a sandboard, none whatsoever. But enter Gato en Caja.
A cat in a box.
A cat in
a
box.
What the hell are you on about?
Oh, I'm on about wine. So we had an hour or so before we had to leave. So I busted out the Peruvian staple wine, Gato en Caja. It's just a box wine that is cheap but does the trick.
So I'll tell you what, there's something kind of liberating about letting somebody else do the driving.
Ah, that's true.
all I have to do is buckle in and have a good time. I really enjoyed myself on that, and so I didn't drink any of the Card Bordeaux, but we did carry a couple of beers, and I drank most of one of them, I think.
It was so much fun. I am not, or at least I didn't think I was the type of person that would get belly down on a broke down snowboard and slide down like sheer cliffs of sand. But when we stopped at the first boarding stop, the driver was like, okay, who's gonna go first? And I was like, fuck it, I'll go.
Sheer cliff.
I'll go. It was sheer. It was a sheer cliff. I feared for my life. But it was so much fun.
So it was a fear cliff.
It was a fear cliff,
okay.
Yeah.
You know that.
So, you know, as I'm, you know, as he's telling me how to tuck my elbows in and, you know, drag my toes behind me if I want to slow down, you know, I just launch off the side of this dune and go straight down into the abyss. And I'm screaming the entire way. And when I finally stopped, I stood up and felt absolutely fearless. It was really one of the best feelings of my life.
The abyss. Are we going to be like Road Noise, parenthetical, the drama?
That's probably for another episode, but so we continued. We ended up doing what, four snow, or not snowboarding, sandboarding,
yeah,
jobs. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will recommend bring your own alcohol because it really, really helps.
It definitely made that a nice experience. So we got done with that. We went back to the hostel. We knew that we were leaving early in the morning. So we just really didn't want to dirty any dishes because that means we have to wash them. And we want to get to bed early so we can leave early, so we decide it would be money well spent to just go to the restaurant. And so we did, and then we did wake up the next morning. And this we can tie back into talking about aliens, finally.
Right, aliens. Next stop, Nazca.
So apparently there's some theory that aliens created the Nazca lines, and I think that one of the figures that they call the astronaut is the figure that is used as evidence that because of course when these lines were drawn, you know, the Nazca people would not have known of astronauts. Get my Spanish and English vowels mixed up now.
Right. Well, according to most archaeologists, the Nazca lines were drawn between 500 BC and 500 AD, or BCE and ACE, I guess.
I guess also.
No, so I think it's now it's not including like the birth of Christ, it's more like Common Era and
before the Common Era.
Before the Common Era.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we took off the next morning and headed for Nazca, and we wanted to get there early because we were going to take a flight over the Nazca lines, and it's best to be there early before the wind picks up. Although, again, according to most archaeologists, the lack of heavy winds in that area have actually preserved these Nazca lines. But it involves getting on a plane, and anything that involves getting on a plane for me is a study in terror.
Yes.
For those of you who
Let me be a witness.
For those of you who don't know me, I have a very serious phobia about flying. Any plane. Small plane, big plane, doesn't matter. If I'm leaving the ground, I am petrified.
So, we get in the airplane. the tiny, tiny airplane.
It's a small plane. It was what, a 6-seater?
Yes.
Yes. So we get in the airplane. The co-pilot hands out the maps and says, you know, what glyphs. I mean, are they glyphs or geometric shapes?
Geoglyphs? Or something.
That we'll be flying over. And the plan is to basically make a right-hand bank and a left-hand bank around each of them so that everyone can get a good view. So...
They were pretty steep banks.
Wow.
And apparently this is kind of an issue for a lot of people with air sickness, motion sickness.
Yeah, I don't have motion sickness when I'm flying. It's just terror. I'm just terrified. However, I was able to medicate appropriately prior to the flight, so the co-pilot only had to ask me once if I was okay.
So, the figures themselves, what do you have to say about that? I thought they were... I expected them to be much bigger, though. Like, when you read the size of them, you know, in the hundreds of meters, they don't look, from the air, they don't look like they're hundreds of meters,
no.
I guess.
And they're very hard to spot. The co-pilot, you know, in the, you know, oh, we got to wear those cool headphones, you know, where we could hear the pilots talking and stuff. But, he was saying, you know, okay, so here is the monkey, and here is the spider, and you really have to look hard to find them because the landscape is beige. And so when the Nazca people built these lines, what they did was they just basically carved out sections of ground.
So they just took kind of a top layer off, right?
Right. You know, a very small layer.
Just like a crust.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're looking for them, they're really hard to see. And you can see them, but, you know, here we are, like, you know, with our phones trying to take photos, looking at what we think are, okay, this is the monkey, this is the condor, this is the hummingbird, and, you know, like, click, 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 click. You know, I'm hoping I'm capturing this, because they are really hard to see, even from the air. And that's the best way to see them. But still, it's difficult.
Yeah, so what does this change how you feel about aliens one way or the other?
Well, when we talk about aliens in reference to the Nazca lines, there is one specific point where it's called the astronaut, and it's a humanoid figure with a squarish shaped head. And people, all kinds of people, from archaeologists to preppers to, I mean, everyone thinks that the Nazca lines were not built by the Nazca people.
I have to ask for some clarification. You said that this figure is called the astronaut?
It's called the astronaut today. I don't know what they would have called it when it was made.
I think that it is the figure that is popularly known as the astronaut.
So, are you saying that it's not a representation of an astronaut?
I'm saying that there's the name and the figure are being tied together to support evidence, to support an argument,
ah.
And the two are completely unrelated.
That's entirely possible. But regardless, when these Peruvian peoples were creating these lines, and they created one that looks pretty much like an astronaut, as we know an astronaut to look today, you have to wonder. You really do.
So speaking of lines in Peru, did we get up to any other fun this weekend?
think that when you reference lions in Peru,
well, because
comes
I was thinking
else.
No, I was thinking because this was New Year's weekend, and so, you know, maybe there are lines or maybe queues to go to the fireworks show or whatnot. So, big blowout New Year's party?
No, we didn't have a New Year's party.
Nah.
No, we spent New Year's Eve on a little beach, very quiet.
Kind of a Netflix and chill.
It was. But back to Nazca, you know, a lot of these figures are representations of animals and other things that would have been important to the people at the time. There's the hummingbird, there's the condor, there's the monkey, which is really interesting because Nazca is a desert and monkeys only live much further north in Peru in the Amazon region. So
where do hummingbirds live out here though? I mean, there is no vegetation at all.
Right. So it indicates probably a fair amount of travel of these people, that they had traveled to other locations and seen these animals, these birds, and they came back and carved these lines into the earth. And so the Nazca lines are, when we say that they are a lot smaller than you think, it's pretty true. For instance, the monkey is only 310 feet by 190 feet. And the spider is only 150 feet squared. But what's important is that the weather in that part of Peru is so dry, so still for the most part, that these lines have been preserved for thousands of years. But not everyone has the respect of the Nazca lines that others do.
Example,
Greenpeace. So in December of 2014, Greenpeace activists allegedly irreparably damaged the Nazca lines when they set up a banner within a portion of the lines, the hummingbird lines in particular. And so because it's a UN World Heritage Site, there are specific instructions for how you can walk on that ground. And apparently these people from Greenpeace didn't really give a fuck. And one of them was given a fine and a suspended prison sentence for
Whoa.
That. Yeah. Yeah. So Peruvians, and they take it really seriously. The Nazca lions are one of the most important parts of Peruvian culture and history and archaeology, maybe even more so than Machu Picchu. Would you agree?
I think I would. It was really, really interesting, and the alien theory has also been debunked by there was a guy that demonstrated that with tools and techniques that were available to the people at the time that these could be built, and it was actually quite remarkable how few people it took to do this.
Right.
So I think that mystery has been debunked.
I think so. But you still have to wonder, that figure of the astronaut, I mean, it's not like any humanoid figure that you would expect people, you know, around the
you know,
turn
maybe this
of
was,
the...
Maybe this was the apprentice course.
The apprentice?
Yeah, like, you can't go draw lines in the desert until you, like, draw this one. And so he just made it he did a horrible job and he didn't get to do anymore.
He could be, but I doubt it. No, the humanoid figure, I think, is the one that stands out the most. Just because it was created so long ago and represents an idea. You know, and we see this with, you know, the pyramids at Giza and other things, other parts of the world, where how did these people have this technology in order to create these shapes and forms? So
I think they were definitely designed by women.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, women are always better at that.
Well, I mean, if it were men, they'd have been drawing dicks out there.
Probably. Oh, like that Navy pilot?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the flight was only about 30 minutes. And I can tell you that it was terrifying. I had taken the max allowed dose of my anti-anxiety medication, and I was still freaking the fuck out. And they when they seated us in the plane, they did so according to our weight, because of course when you check in for your flight,
I'm in the front row.
You have to be weighed. And so I was behind Will, and another woman was sitting next to him, and she pretty much barfed the whole time. It's not that it's a, I mean, it's not a rough flight, but, you know, it's a small plane. And so there's a lot of side-to-side movement, a lot of up-and-down movement really quickly. And so thankfully I don't get air sick, I just get panic sick. I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, there were a couple of white knuckle moments for me, even though I was drugged up. But still, it's a really great experience, and I'm so glad that we did it. Because, you know, as I talked about earlier, you know, in this episode, we don't get to do a lot of fun stuff. You know, we're working or we're driving. We're working or we're driving. And so weekends when we get to go sandboarding and drinking beer in the desert or jumping on a little plane to fly over the Nazca lines, those are the moments that we really treasure, really important.
Yeah,
they really, sure, like, make this trip worth it, because otherwise it's basically we just live a standard life in a camper.
I wouldn't pin making this trip worth it on those types of things. Like, we've had a plenty of, you know, meeting great people and experiences of that nature where we didn't go and do some activity.
No, of course, but for us to be able to take a weekend and do, like, have 2 days of fun stuff, I mean, that's rare. We do that maybe every 6 to 8 weeks.
Border crossings aren't fun?
No. No, they're not. They're not. So I don't know what your idea of fun is. Probably very different than mine.
Yeah, not that.
Yeah. And so yeah, seeing the Nazca lines was a really interesting experience. Huacachina was just damn fun. It was just fun. It reminded me a lot of Abu Dhabi, where we went dune bashing with friends, and the sandboarding was really cool. I'm not, like I said, I'm not that girl that just, like, jumps on a beat-up snowboard and slides down a hill. But it was so much fun.
Did.
I did it. And, you know, for someone with anxiety, and I do suffer from anxiety, those kinds of things are not something that I would just normally be like, yeah, let's go. But that day, I was fearless. I was the first one to go down the hill. I had so much fun in Huacachina sandboarding. And of course, the flight over the Nazca lines the next day. Yes, anxiety. Yeah, 100% anxiety. But even still, I did it. I was so proud of myself.
Yeah, and I had so much fun, and it was so much fun having fun with you.
It was. Woo! It was a really great weekend. Yeah. And we got to see and do some of Peru's most popular tourist sites.
Yeah.
Outside of Machu Picchu. And for the record, we're not going to Machu Picchu on this trip. Both of us have been previously, and it's not on our path, really. So we're here in Arequipa, and what we're going to do now is head for the border of Bolivia. And that's going to be a treat.
So, wow, there's so much going on there.
Oh my God.
Maybe we'll end up having an episode at some point about altitude sickness. Or
we will have an episode about altitude sickness.
How do we sound under the influence of altitude?
Because tomorrow we will have altitude sickness. We are going from about, what, 8,000 feet? In Arequipa, 7,000 feet? Tomorrow we are going from 7,000 feet to 12,000 feet. In one day, which is against all of the doctor's recommendations. You should never ascend more than 1,000 feet in one day. So today we've been bulking up on water, ibuprofen. We've got some coca leaves for coca tea, which is the best cure, or not cure, but treatment, I guess, for altitude sickness. So, yeah. And I have to remind you that if I say I need to go back down, I need to go back down.
Okay.
That's what she said.
Good one.
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting couple of days that we've got coming up. And our plan in Bolivia is to chase the Dakar Rally. So we're looking forward to bringing you an episode about that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And got anything else?
So I think we've kind of wrapped up the fun part of this. We do have to go back now and explain the name change, I think.
Right.
So, and I just want to say that some of this, or from my point of view, this has come about because of the feedback that we've gotten from some of you all. It's much appreciated. Thank you so much. And I think with that said, we kind of want to become a little bit more polished without losing who we're about.
Right. So we have got a good friend of ours who is going to record an intro for us. And we are in the process of changing the name of the podcast from Road Noise Unedited to Road Noise Unfiltered. And we still need to maintain the E for explicit rating. So, as always, you know, this podcast is probably not going to ever be safe for work. But when we get up and running for reals, I mean, I think we've been doing a pretty good job so far. But, you know, as I listen to more and more podcasts, I realize how much more we need to do to make this one the best one.
So just a little polish. So it will be edited now. There will be a pre-recorded intro and some pre-recorded sound clips.
Right.
So it will be edited.
So the unfiltered portion just refers to our language. Because, I mean,
well, and we also don't have a recording studio.
No mics, no soundproofing, no filters.
Nice.
Yeah. So thanks again for listening. If you are so inclined, please rate us on iTunes. It would mean the world to us. And if you have any questions or would like to see some photos of the Nazca lines and sandboarding in Huacachina, You can do that at www.thelifenomadic.com.
That's all I have. Peace out.
Peace out.